When troubles come against me and I feel so overwhelmed, when it seems the more I've tried giving, my troubles seem to swell. When I've reached the end of me and my faith is getting dim, then I hear a sweet voice whisper, just bring it all to Him. So I'll just
bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan.
And when the burdens get so heavy and my sight is getting dim, oh how sweet it is in knowing I can bring it all to Him. In the throne room of my Savior, I find sweet relief. I find strength to bear my burdens. I find comfort for my grief. And when my cup is overflowing, as He fills it to the rim,
what a blessed consolation, I can bring it all to Him.
So I'll just
bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan.
And when the burdens get so heavy
and my sight is getting dim, oh how sweet it is in knowing I can bring it all to Him.
So I'll just
bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan.
And when the burdens get so heavy
and my sight is getting dim, oh how sweet it is in knowing I can bring it all to Him.
And when the burdens get so heavy and my sight is getting dim,
oh how sweet it is in knowing I can bring it all to Him.
Amen. Thank you so much for the good singing today. It's been a blessing. And it's good to see families sing together. Amen. That's good. All right, you have your Bible open to Ephesians chapter number 4. And we had read the scripture, and I trust you followed along back in 2 Corinthians. We'll not go back there. I want you to stay in Ephesians 4. But we had read the scripture there for a purpose. I want you to understand that the devil, and we've been talking about this, we began last week, the devil is our enemy. Sometimes we think that there's human instruments that are enemies. Now, they can be if they're used of the devil, but our primary enemy is the devil, and I want you to understand that. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we have a spiritual warfare that's going on, and we need to stay focused on the spiritual warfare. You lose your focus on the spiritual warfare, you begin to fight a physical warfare, well, you're going down. I read something this past week that was very interesting. It was talking about warfare, and it said that when you know yourself, but you don't know your enemy, you'll probably go down about 50% of the time. When you know your enemy, but you don't know yourself, you'll probably go down about 50% of the time. When you know neither yourself nor your enemy, you're probably going to go down about 100% of the time. But when you know yourself and you know your enemy, well, now you're standing on good fighting ground. You've got to understand who you are. And more importantly, you have to understand whose you are. We're God's people. We do not have to fight our battles alone. We understand this. We have a God who gets involved in the affairs of His people. And so I want you to understand that while we do not have to fight battles alone, God does incorporate us into the battle. So I'll just let God fight my battles. Well, now wait a minute. That's not what Ephesians chapter 6 says. Ephesians chapter 6 says you need to put some armor on. Amen. I'm going to let God fight them, preacher. Well, now, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And I understand that we live in a day where people, they have very little care and concern about what the Bible says. But I care a lot about what the Bible says. And I believe you care much about what the Bible says. And so while we can sit back and say, well, the Lord's going to fight my battles. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Now, there's just some things that we have to turn over to God and only God can do. That's right. That's right. But there's some things that God says, hey, I want you to take up the whole armor of God. I want you to take the sword of the Spirit, and I want you to go fight the battle. Jude said, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What is the battle? Well, the battle is against our enemy. What are his devices? Well, there are many. I want to give you some. I want you to think about this with me, okay? When you study the fall of Satan, you can do that in Ezekiel chapter 28. You can do that in Isaiah chapter number 14. You can study the fall of Satan. When you study his fall, you find out some things about his devices. Why did he fall? Well, pride was found in him. But now, pride is in all of us. What did the pride that was found in Satan, what did we discover about that in his fall? Now listen very carefully, because when you hear this word, I want you to think about what's going on in our society today, and you can tag it on about 90% of a lot of perversion that's going on in our society today. You know what the word is? You ready for it? Discontentment. I'm not content being a man. I want to be a woman. I'm not content being tall. I want to be short. I'm not content being thin. I want to be thicker. I'm not content being thick. I want to be thinner. I'm not content being this. I want to be that. See, Satan wasn't content with the position that God gave him. He wanted another position. He wanted a higher position. He wanted God's position. See, that's where pride came in. Pride led him to believe, I deserve that position. See, they feed on one another, pride and discontentment. Discontentment is one of the greatest devices of Satan that goes unnoticed that I know of. There are people that are so discontented with their life, with their lot in life, with everything about their life, and so they're always seeking something outside of where God has them, and that'll get you in trouble, brethren. Now listen to me. Discontentment is one of the chief devices of the enemy. Doubt. Now we find this not in the fall of Satan, but we find this in the fall of man. When you study the fall of man, you find that doubt was used as one of the devices of Satan. Doubt and denial. Read it in Genesis 3. When you read about the devil's devices, then you can better know your enemy, you can better equip yourself and armor yourself for the battle. I want to talk with you about some of the devices of Satan and some of the strongholds that he gets in our lives that we sometimes overlook. We even laugh about them. We have our names for them. I want you to look at this section of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to talk about some strongholds that I believe is in place in many of our lives, and we don't even realize it. But before I do, I want to direct your attention to a statement that the apostle makes here to believers that really should send chills down our spine. Look, if you would, in verse number 27. Neither give place to the devil. I want to say that again. Neither give place to the devil. This tells me a lot. This tells me that the devil can move in and take up some space in your life and my life. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the saints. He's talking to believers like you and I, brethren. You see, if we were to say, well, this area is my area, but now I'm going to designate this area for the devil. Now he's in. He's in. Now, he can't take it. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Don't miss this now. I'm exposing our enemy. By the way, don't quit praying for me. Neither give place to the devil. Remember last week we seen where he was walking about, seeking whom he may destroy. He's looking for a chink in your armor, in my armor. He's looking for an inward way to get in and take that place. But you have to give it to him. Notice what it says again. It didn't say neither surrender or neither allow him to take. He said, don't you give it to him. See, I'm going to come back to this in just a moment, but we've been bought with a price. We don't belong to the devil anymore. We don't even belong to ourselves anymore. Now, I understand that this is theology that many, many people don't understand. We've been bought with a price. Brother, can I tell you, if you're saved in the grace of God, you belong to Jesus. You belong to God. And we need to start living like it. And tell the devil, get out. Get out in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you have no authority here. Now get out in Christ's name. Say, I don't want to live like that. Well, then you're going to live in defeat. Don't you give place to the devil. Now how can you do it? Well, it all starts so innocently. I want you to drop down in verse number 30. Because verse 27 and verse number 30 are connected. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Now, you can give place to the devil, but he's not going to take you to his place. It's what this verse is teaching. It's going to grieve God when we give place to the devil. But the devil will never get you in his place. You know why? You're saved eternally. But he can make your life here like his place. He can make your life, my life here, like hell. Now listen to me. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. We sing about it this morning. We'll rejoice about it when we all get to heaven. Praise God, we're going to heaven. Amen, brethren? Amen. Amen. But in this life, we're not to give place to the devil. He's going to come. He's going to be seeking a little place in your life. He's going to be seeking a little area, a little room in your heart, a little vacancy where he can take up residence, and he began to sow discord and sow seeds of doubt and discouragement. But don't you give him that place. Now I'm going to talk to you about some ways you can leave the door open and the devil will come in and he'll feel right at home in the place you give him and that I give him. I want you to notice how that the apostle starts this off. The word I want you to write down is repentance, because this is what he said in verse number 22. He said, you need to put off some things. So, well, I'm saved and God done cleaned all that up, preacher. Well, I'm glad he did, but I'm going to tell you something. You still need to put off some things. Paul's writing saved people here. He said, you need to put off some things. You need to take some action about some things in your life that is going to give the devil place if you're not careful now. What is it, preacher? He said, it's some former things of your former conversation. It's corrupt, according to the deceitful lust. What is it? Well, look at verse number 25. Let's start there. Wherefore, put away lying. Yeah, preacher, I don't lie. Well, you probably just told one. I'm not being mean. I want you to listen to me very carefully. People joke about lying. People exaggerate. Can I tell you that's lying? People start telling lies. Before long, they start living a lie. See, lying comes in many different forms. It comes in dishonesty. It comes into exaggeration. You know what lying is? Lying is not giving a fact. It's giving information that's not based on fact to deceive someone to believe something that's not so. That's a lie. Yeah, I just told a little white lie. No such thing as that. They're all black and sinful. And the Bible says you ought to put away lying. Amen. See, the devil will get place in our lives when we tell a lie. When you lie to your spouse, when you lie to your foreman, when you lie to your preacher, when you lie to your children, when you lie to your parents, listen to me. It's lying. God hates lying. God says you put it away from you. You'll give the devil place in your life if you start lying and exaggerating and you become dishonest and you start saying things that are not so, or stretching things or hiding things or ducking and dodging. He said, that's lying. And he said, you better take lying serious, because what it will do is it will make a place for the devil in your life, and the devil will begin to incubate there, and he'll begin to feel at home there, and you will become a liar. You'll start living a lie to where you'll start believing your own lie. And you'll start thinking, I'm better than I am. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people who think they're okay. You know why? You know why? Because they have believed their own lies. It started out maybe with just hiding something or changing a little something or rearranging some words to make it appear to be a certain way, and you became comfortable with it, or I became comfortable with it, or we got to the place where we said, well, now that's okay, because that's not doing this and that's not doing that. But God said, listen, speak truth, every man with his neighbor. He said, you tell the truth. You say, preacher, if I tell the truth, it's going to get me in trouble. If you don't, it's going to get you in trouble. More trouble than you would if you do. You're going to give place to the devil. Now, if you're lying, he said, stop it. He said, quit. Look at what he said in verse number 25. He said, put away lying. Put away lying. Wherefore, put away lying. And speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we, he's talking to saved people, for we are members one of another. Amen. He's talking to us Christians now. You say, preacher, can't we talk about drinking? Can't we talk about drugs? I mean, we have an epidemic in our country. We're going to talk about lying right now. Because lying is giving place to the devil. See, the devil would probably never get a place in your life or mine with alcohol or with drugs. I'm not saying we're above it, but I'm saying that some of us have moved on from that, and God has delivered us from that, and God has got us in a place to where we don't want to go back to that by the grace of God. But yet every day, if we're not careful, while we may not be tempted to drink, while we may not be tempted to do drugs, we're tempted to lie. He said, you be careful about this thing of honesty. You will give place to the devil, to where he will feel at home, and he will begin to work from the inside. Listen, if he's going to work, I want him working from the outside. Say amen, brethren. If he's going to work in my life, I want him on the outside. I don't want to give him place. I don't want to let him in. When he gets in, he'll wreak havoc now. A lot of times he gets in a little small place. Just a little lie. Just a little white lie. Just this once. Oh my, listen to me. Lying. Can I ask you to do something? Can I ask you to seriously consider talking to God about this and saying, God, I don't want the devil to have this place in my life. You know I've exaggerated, or I've twisted some things, or I've said some things. I've been a little dishonest in this and that, and God, I don't want to see it as a little something. I want to see it as a big something, and I don't want to give the devil place. God, help me. I repent of this, and I'm sorry, and I want you to forgive me, and I want to be aware of this evil that could happen in my life through lying. All right? See, when we think about gross sin, we rarely think about lying. But the Bible, when Jesus said, I'm going to tell you about your enemy. Now listen to me. He said, he's a liar. And he said, I want you to know he's the father of it. He's a liar. He said, I want to expose your enemy to you. He's a liar. And he'll have you lying if you're not careful. You listening? Lying. He'll have you lying to your children. He'll have you lying to your parents. He'll have you lying to your spouse. He'll have you lying to where your life will no longer be just telling lies. It'll be living lies. That's our enemy now. And he wants you to think lying's a small thing, but it's not a small thing. It's a big thing. And God sees it as sin. And he said, I want you to put it away from you now. Now, it's something you're going to have to do. You say, well, I want God to do it. He'll empower you. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you to do it. But you've got to make, listen, look where the emphasis is now. Look at it, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. Who? You. You put it away. That's the understood subject in that verse. You put away lying. Now quit your lying. That's what he's saying. All right? This is where the devil can get place in our lives. All right? He said, that lying now, that dishonesty. Don't be controlled by a lie. Lying is so, listen, we think lying, we don't think about it as gross sin, but I'm going to tell you, read Revelation 21:8. The Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving, and it lists abominable sins, and it says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. God said that he that loveth and maketh a lie will in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. God takes lying serious. Now man doesn't, but God takes it serious. And so I want to impress upon your heart as we expose our enemy, I want to press upon your heart now that this thing of lying is something that we all need to be on guard against. Remember, be sober. Last week, remember, 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant. What's that mean? Be on guard. Be on guard. The devil will have you thinking that lying's not a big deal. To God, it's a big deal, brethren. All right? Listen to me. Lying is just leaving the door cracked so the devil can get place and Gideon and start his work from the inside. Lying. He said, put it away. Now, if you would look at verse number 26. Be ye angry. You say, well, I can do that. Amen. Amen. I can do that. But can't sin. You say, well, the Bible said I can be angry. Well, now it says you can, but you can't sin. Well, I'm going to get angry. Well, now if you do, you can't sin. That's what the Bible says. Be angry and sin not. That means you've got to be angry the right way at the right time for the right reason. That's hard. Somebody say amen with me. That's difficult. Now, I want you to watch this now. Oh, preacher, I got a temper. I can't tell you how many people, I got a temper, not like none of the rest of us do. We all have tempers. That just blows my mind when I'm out talking to people. I'll tell you right now, preacher, I got a temper. And I just look at them like, okay. I mean, we're human beings. We all have tempers. Just some of us know how to control them, some don't. Kind of like lying. Some people know how to control them, some people don't. Need to control your temper. Amen. Yeah. Be ye angry and sin not. Now listen to me. The devil was exposed by Jesus. He said he's a liar and the father of it. I'm going to tell you something else that Jesus said about the devil. You listening? He said he's a murderer. He said he come to kill. Did you know that Jesus said in Matthew 5 that anger is the first step to murder? Read it. He said anger is the first step to murder. Need to get that anger issue under control. Now listen to me. You get angry and you begin to see, and the Bible has a lot to say about anger, that argumentative and contentious spirit. The Bible says you give place to the devil. It's like a breeding ground for sin when you walk around mad all the time. I'm mad. Well, I tell you, it seems like everybody's mad. Have you noticed that? Everybody's mad these days. Mad. And the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Look at what it leads to. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It leads to holding grudges. Now, I want you to listen to me. I'm talking about giving place to the devil. I'm talking about strongholds where the devil gets us and he pins us down and he renders us almost useless for Christ because we don't look at these things as being strongholds in our life. But I have a right to be mad, you might say. You never have a right to sin. Never. And the Bible says if you're going to be angry and you sin, that's sin against God. If your anger is going to lead you to sin, if your anger is going to lead you to where you say things you shouldn't say, and we're going to see in just a moment now that that's what happens. And you do things you shouldn't do, or I do and say things I shouldn't do and say, the enemy is going to get place in your life to where you will hold grudges. You'll have sharp words and you'll let the sun go down on your wrath. You'll hold a grudge. Did you know that when you read back in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 when the Bible's talking about we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, you know what he is talking about specifically? An unforgiving spirit. Now see, we don't like to think about that. Now listen to me. We don't like to think about that. I'll tell you what we like to think about. Well, you know, preacher, I don't use drugs and I don't drink and I don't run around with wild women. I'm a pretty good old Christian. I'm going to tell you something. If you have an unforgiving spirit, God's not hearing and answering your prayer. Because the Bible says if you're not willing to forgive men of their trespasses, which they trespass against you, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. Now that's what the book says, brethren. And the book's always right. And the devil has gotten place in people's lives because they think that they're justified by holding a grudge against somebody because they done me wrong or for having an unforgiving spirit, and the devil is reaping havoc in their life because of it. Don't you let the devil have place in your life that way. Don't you let him have the place that he's seeking now. He'll make your life a living hell. He'll make you a miserable somebody. Well, you just don't know, preacher. I've been done wrong. Yeah, I know I'm a preacher. I don't know about being done wrong. We all get done wrong. If you set out to live life right and to help people, I want you to write this down. I am going to be abused. Somebody's going to take advantage of me. Somebody's going to do me wrong. Somebody's going to talk behind my back. Somebody's going to lie out of their teeth on me. But if you have set out to serve God in your life, you mark it down, it's going to happen. Somebody's going to hurt you. Somebody's going to lie against you. Somebody's going to say things that just try to destroy your character. They're going to get angry. The Bible says, don't you be angry and start sinning now. Don't you open the door. Look at it. Don't you let the sun go down on your wrath. The Bible says, listen, Jesus said, write it down, Matthew 5, he said, agree with thine adversary quickly. Get that matter settled. And he said, listen, if somebody has sinned against you, Matthew 18, that was Matthew 5. Matthew 18, he said in verse number 15, he said, if somebody has sinned against you, you go to him and you get that matter worked out. Don't you let that thing seethe and smolder like a slow burn until it just begins to burn and explode out of you. That's what he said. And there's a lot of Christian folks that the devil could never get to take a sip of whiskey. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. I'm talking about the devil getting place in our lives. Never take a sip of whiskey. Never get involved in promiscuity. But they'll hold a grudge. They'll have an unforgiving spirit. They'll feel like I have a right. This person has wronged me, and I am going to hold a grudge against them. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to put yourself in prison and give them the key. I am telling you, on the authority of God's word, the devil has gotten place in many of a Christian's lives, and he has rendered us just about powerless against his devices because we've given him the key. We've given him the ground. We've given him place. We've given him place. Paul, look at it, verse 27. He said, don't you give place to the devil now. Don't you think that lying and getting angry and holding grudges and harboring an unforgiving spirit, don't you think that the devil's not getting a little bit of a place at a time? Before long, he's going to be owning you. He's going to be controlling your actions. Now, owning is not the right word. I shouldn't have used that word. Because he cannot own you if you're saved. But he sure can have a big part in controlling your actions, can he? I want to stay, straight on my theology and doctrinally straight. He can't own you, but now he can certainly have a big part in controlling our actions. Look, if you would, in verse number 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Oh, preacher, I don't steal. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. So what have we seen so far? Well, the devil has some devices, and Jesus has exposed them. He's a liar. He said he's a father of lies. He says, so don't you be lying now. The devil will get place. He'll feel right at home in your life that way. We ought to be controlled by truth. What is truth? Jesus said, I am truth. His word is truth. Don't let your life be controlled by truth, by a lie. Let your life be controlled by truth, right? And don't get angry now and start spewing out contention and malice and holding grudges and harboring an unforgiving spirit. That leads to some terrible things. Then he says here, stealing. The devil is a thief. He's a thief. He wants you to be a thief too. He wants me to be a thief. And one of the ways he gets places in our lives is through thievery. He does. So, preacher, I would never take from anybody. Well, now, I hope you wouldn't. But let's just do a quick little test here. All right? Just a quick little test. You're not stealing somebody's time, are you? So you can steal more than their possessions. Don't be stealing people's time on the workplace. I was talking to a man at work this week. I called him up and I was telling him, listen, I care about you and I'm concerned about you and I just want to find out what's going on. But before I got into conversation, I said, I asked you something. Are you working? He said, I am. He said, but I'm driving. I said, okay, when you get to your stop, you let me know. I don't want to take your time. He said, that's preposterous, preacher. It means something to me. I don't want to be stealing from people. Don't you steal from people. Stealing is wrong. And God takes it serious. Say, well, I don't take that serious. God takes it serious. Man tells me I got a 15-minute break, I'm not taking 17 minutes. Now, I'm about tired of hearing that. Well, I'm going to keep preaching it. So keep your ears open. It's not right. It's not right. Ah, it's no big deal, preacher. You know what you're doing? You're setting up to give the devil place in your life. Because the moment you think that 2 minutes from your superior is not important, you'll be taking what belongs to God. You won't even tithe. And if you'll steal from God, you'll steal from anybody. You listening to me? Hey, listen to me. Folks, we're living in a day where people think this is no big deal, so I don't give to the church. Hey, listen, if you rob God of his tithe and offering, there's no telling who you would steal from. What audacity to take what God has given, to take God's. And you're going to try to have me believe you wouldn't take mine? No, I don't believe that. He said, listen to me. He said, let him that stole steal no more. He said, now you got to quit that stealing, or the devil, listen, he'll get place in your life. And I'm going to tell you, he's a thief. He is a thief. I'm going to hasten here because I want to finish this. But I want you to think of me just for a moment about the devil. What a thief he is, Brother Calvin. I was thinking about this past week and I thought, that sorry low. Listen, I can't stand the devil. So, oh, preacher, y'all not feel that bad about him. I hate him. Amen. I can't stand him. I look back in my life how he tried to destroy and still trying to destroy my life and my family, your life and your family, people I love and their families. Listen, it ought to cause a righteous indignation about us. Listen to me. He is our enemy. I thought about that man in Mark chapter 5 and all that he stole from that man. He stole his family. Had the man living out in the tombs. He stole his dignity. The man was sleeping in the graveyard for God's sake. He stole his identity. Didn't even know his name. He took his name. What's your name? He said, Legion. He stole his sanity. Cutting himself. Stole his liberty. He was bound in fetters and chains. Stole everything. Listen, everything that was worth anything in life. He stole it from him. Why? Because he's a thief. That's why. And he'll steal it from you too. You listen, you say, oh, he won't do me that way, preacher. He won't do me that way. Oh, yes, he will if you give him place. Oh, yes, he will. Don't you think for one moment that man got up one morning and decided he was going to go out and live in those tombs among those graves and going to live the way he did. Naked, even took the man's integrity, even took his dignity. Naked out there. He'll take every bit of that from you and I too. Why? Because that's who he is. That's who he is. He's a thief. He won't ask you for it. He'll just come and rip it all from you and I and take it from us if we give him place. I'm talking about our enemy this morning. That's why the devil's trying all he can to get you to go to sleep. I know. I've been there. He's trying to get you to go to sleep. He is. He's trying to get you to think, man, you know, all kinds of things because he don't want you to hear this, okay? But I'm going to say it so you listen real carefully. The devil is a liar. The devil is a thief. He is a murderer. And he's your enemy. And he's coming after you. He's walking about. You say, well, he's in hell. Yeah, he likes to keep us ignorant. The devil's not in hell. He is on the prowl. He's trying to get people in hell, but he's not there. He's going there one day, praise God, but he's not there yet. He said, let him that stole steal no more. Don't be stealing now. Don't be stealing from man. Don't be stealing from God. Don't do it. When you do, you give the devil place. By the way, just say this, and I'm going to move to my final point, and I'll be through today. Just want to say this, all right? Because I had somebody just recently wanted to argue with me. Now, I'm not much on arguing. Well, my wife would probably think differently, but I, outside of her, I'm not much for arguing, okay? When it comes to the Bible, I really don't like to argue the Bible. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. And if you can tell me what the Bible says, we'll have a good, healthy debate. But if you're going to come back with me with your denomination or what you learned in some professor at Bible college, I'm not concerned about that. You give me some scripture and we can have a good, healthy debate. But you come back with me about what you believe, what you've always heard, or what you were taught as a kid, I'm not interested in that. Give me some chapters and verses. Amen? Say amen with me, brethren. This is where the rubber meets the road. So a man comes to me and we get to talking about tithing. And he said, well, you know, tithing's of the law. And so I'm not going to tithe. And I said, well, I guess that means you're going to give 11% or more, right? Said, what do you mean? I said, because if the law, now I want you to listen to me. If the law requires a Jew to give a tenth, surely to God, we Gentiles that got in by grace can give more than a tenth. You mean to tell me that grace can't trump law? You better believe it does. And so he just made my point for me. We're in grace giving. It starts at a tenth. By the way, just so we get this clear, and I'm going to move on now. You say, well, please do. Amen. Amen. It all belongs to God. When you can live your life that way, you got it. You got it. Now, when you live in your life any other way, you're not quite there yet, and you're liable to give place to the devil. And I want to help you now so you don't give place to the devil. All right? I just want to help you. When you realize it all belongs to God, everything I am, everything I have, everything I ever hope to be is in God's hands. It's all His. And I want to honor Him with it. With the first fruit, with my substance, the first fruit of my increase, I want to honor God with it. Well, now see, you're on good ground. But the moment you start thinking, you know, how can you, you know, dip and dodge and cut out and leave God out of this and that, listen, you're on some bad ground. And you're going to give the devil place for long. You're going to give him place. And I don't want you to do that, because once you give him place, now he can operate from the inside. That's a terrible place to let the devil. Look at what he said again in verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. What a statement. What a statement. It's just right out there. Be careful. Don't let the devil get in. Right? Don't let him get in. Now you're going to have to put some things off. We'll go back to verse 22 as I bring this to a round it out right here. He said, in verse 22, he said, you're going to have to put off some things now. You're going to have to quit that lying. Hey, preacher, I'm not lying. Well, then, good, don't start. Keep your guard up. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be on guard against lying, exaggerating, dishonesty in any form. Be on guard, because the devil will try to help you. Ah, goodness, it's just a little thing. It's just this. It's just that. No, it's lying. It's exaggerating, it's dishonesty, it's twisting things about, and God's not pleased with it, and you're going to give the devil place if you do it. So please, be sober and vigilant about that. Don't give him place. Then he said, not only put away lying, but he said, be angry. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath now. He said, be angry and sin not. Don't be harboring grudges and unforgiving spirit and have contention and malice. He said, don't do that. All right? He said, you'll give the devil place. You go to that person that you're having some friction with, and you get it settled. You get it settled. You'll not only contaminate yourself, now listen carefully, but you'll contaminate those around you. You sure will. That's a bad thing. Then he said in verse number 28, let him that stole steal no more. Don't be taken from people. All right? Just because you don't like them, don't try to take away from their good, sterling character. If they're good in character and you're mad at them, that doesn't mean you have the right to try to take from their character and smear their reputation. And all God's people said, this gives us no right to gossip and slander and backbite and talebearer. This gives us no right to do that now. Just because we don't like some things about them, so we're going to try to tear them to pieces. No, listen. They're going to answer for them, and I'm going to answer for me, and you're going to answer for you. And the Bible says that we just need to not be taken from them. Don't be trying to take from their character or what they've accomplished or what they've done. Don't try to steal that from them. All right? Scripture is very clear on this. Verse 29, and this is the final one. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And he begins in verse number 31 to elaborate on those things. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. I'm not going to go into those today. I want you to look right up here at the preacher. Then we're going to close. Stand to your feet. I felt led of God this morning to talk to you about giving place to the devil. And sometimes when people think about backsliding and giving place to the devil, they always have images. And it's all of us in their mind. It could be of somebody smoking pot or popping pills or snorting lines or drinking booze or in places of ill repute and participating in promiscuity and illicit situations and activities. But that's not what I want you to think about, because the devil doesn't usually start there. All right? He starts with a little line. Maybe to mom and dad, and before long, you know, that'll escalate to something else. You give the devil a little place, and then before long, he gets a little more. See, you provide that atmosphere, that environment for incubation with that lying or with that unforgiving spirit or holding a grudge or having a bad attitude, not making things right with your brother. And we think, well, that's okay. That's okay. It's not like I'm robbing God or anything. Well, you may end up doing that. It's not like I've killed anybody. I'm just mad. Well, Jesus said that, you know, murder begins with anger. Read it, Matthew 5. It's there. He said you have to be careful. Large sins usually start out as small sins. And I'm not trying to categorize sin. I'm trying to teach you that the devil wants a little place in your life. He wants a little place in my life. And Paul said, don't give him no place. Don't give him any place. Neither give place to the devil. Are you giving place to him? Now, it was not my intention to stand up here this morning and look down on you and say, you're all a bunch of lying, unforgiving, you know, angry, cheating, stealing, filthy talking, backslidden Christians. That's not my intention. My intention is to let you know we have an enemy. And he's going to try to get in and find a little place in your life, in my life, where he can sit over in a little corner, unnoticed for a while we foster a breeding ground for things that are wrong and not right. We need to repent of it and put it away. And we need to resist doing it again. See, once you become accustomed to accepting certain things, you're going to have to fight against and resist to change it, right? Right? You say, you've been okay with that for a little while? Maybe you use bad language. See, some people think filthy communication is just using unclean language. It could be unkind. So you get mad and you get in an argument and you say, I hate you! Listen, can I tell you? You just gave the devil place. I wish you were dead. You just gave the devil place. All right? Well, I didn't use profanity, preacher. You just gave the devil place. So please, hear me now. God wants us to be clean vessels. And he wants us to do our very best. To live a life that's becoming. To live a life that would not give place to our enemy. Would you bow your head with me as the pianist comes? With your heads bowed,